I believe in Proverbs where he says, surround yourself with a great or multitude of advisors. And that's what I've done. If I want to hide myself, kind of like a bad apple in a bucket of apples, and I let the good apples shine, and that's what my kids, my wife, are doing there. And there they go. It won't be long until I see them again. Thank goodness. But if I really want to look good, I sit by Dave Williams. No. Oh, it's good to see laughs. It's good to see smiles. And it's good to take joy in what we have. God is so good. God is so good. He has blessed us so much, so richly. All the spiritual blessings that we could ever ask for, that we could ever want, that we could ever desire are found in Christ Jesus. I shouldn't go looking anywhere else if I want to be happy. I shouldn't go looking anywhere else if I want to be successful. I shouldn't go looking anywhere else of an opinion of myself except for those blessings. Now, some of you guys are pretty smart. Some of you guys hold doctorates. Some of you guys have had education upon education. But if I want to know my purpose, if I want to know who I am, if I want to have the joy that God wants me to have, then I know Jesus. And if you know Jesus and you can teach me about Jesus, praise God. But only if it's about Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 5 this morning, or... And we have been blessed. We have been truly blessed by the gifted speakers throughout this lectureship. We've been gifted with Howard Norton and his wife Jane. And I met Howard Norton in Lisbon, Portugal, when I was in AIM. And muito prazer outra vez. We've been blessed with talented speakers. We've been blessed with eloquent speakers. And I hope you do not hold me to the same account. I am not that eloquent. But hopefully what I do say are the words from God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and following just simply says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Well, we've heard lessons on these topics, and certainly by no means, I would think the preachers would agree as well, and I'm not going to expound upon mine, that the topics are not expounded upon. There is to whet your appetite to say, man, I want more, I need more. So please don't think that you've come to this lectureship to hear very eloquent preachers discuss everything there is to know about Romans chapter 5. We're just touching, just scratching the surface of what God has blessed us with. And the things that He has blessed us with, and I am so humble to just be able to be a part of His kingdom, to be a servant in His kingdom. I'm so humble that He has allowed me to have faith and justification. To be able to stand in grace, especially when I want to fall. And those blessings, coming from Romans chapter 5, those blessings cause us to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope. I have no other reason to rejoice except for what I have in Christ. The world will tell you otherwise. The world will tell you otherwise. The world will say, boy, you can find joy in this substance over here. Boy, you can find joy and satisfaction in your work. You can find joy and satisfaction in... And boy, you take the list on and on and on. And the world presents itself very illustrious. The world presents itself an appeal to the eyes, an appeal to the flesh, the taste, an appeal to the boastful pride of life. That's Genesis chapter 1, but it's also 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16. And it says, here, take a bite. Here, look at this. This is great. This is where you find joy. This is what you can rejoice in. And Christians say, no way. No way. That is not true. Christians rejoice. And that word, it's interesting because it rejoices, do it again. Do it again. Rejoice. Well, what did I take joy in to begin with? The very things that we mentioned before. The faith. And the justification and standing in grace. I'm going to rejoice in that again. In hope. I meant to tell you, by the way, to start writing, taking notes because I'm not in my notes yet. Rejoice in hope. And God, the true God, the living God, where we take our hope. In hope. Nobody else has the hope that we have. Nobody else has the hope that we have. Yet, let me ask you this. Why is it? Why is that? But anyway, that woke me up. Why is it that sometimes we find it so difficult to live that? Why is it sometimes so difficult to have joy? Why is it so difficult to rejoice in that? You know, I have to be honest with you. You know, I haven't been a whole lot of places. Furthest I've been was probably Lisbon, Juneau, raised in Texas, but hallelujah anyway, right? Been to Oklahoma, been to Searcy, I've been to several places, not too many. But I have found that they know beyond the shadow of a doubt the things that we have been discussing this weekend. But yet many times they're like this pickle. They're like this pickle. They've been baptized in vinegar and raised on a sour pickle. You don't smile, or not you, but the people don't smile about what they have in Christ. I'm not talking about the giddy stuff. But the other spectrum is stoic as well. So the balance is in the middle. Certainly not Epicurean. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's more to life than that. And the life is found in Jesus Christ. And when you find that life and that gift of grace has been given to you, rejoice. Rejoice. Paul says it several times in the book of Philippians. Matter of fact, I think he says it 14, 15 times. And you knew that's where I was going, right? I mean, if we speak on joy, you have to look at Romans 5. That's where we started. But Philippians, the whole book of Philippians as well. So what's our call? I want to say Robert said it yesterday. To be real. To be real with Christ. To allow Him to live in you. To be real with Him. Paul tells us on the subject of joy, and it's found in Galatians chapter 5. And it's not a complete list, but it's an idea. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the evidence of the Spirit in His church, in His people. And you can probably quote them off as fast as I can. I memorized it, LJPPKGFGS. I don't know why I did that, mainly for memory work. That's just love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And one of the evidences of the Spirit is joy. Raise your hand for a second. Not yet, sorry. Raise your hand if I should have said that. Little word. Raise your hand if you have attained complete and full maturity in Christ. Raise your hand if you don't need anything else. We all need to grow. We all need to grow in Christ. So please don't get this wrong. If you're one of these guys that it's just hard for you to smile, just know that God's still working on you, all right? God's still working on you. If you're one of these people that self-control, God's still working on you. He hasn't given up. You don't give up either. But know that even joy, you grow in. And the more that I realize how much Christ loves me, the more joy that I have. Notice it's not more that He loves me, the more I realize it. You remember when the disciples are there with Jesus and He's discussing with them at a home, He's at a feast, and Peter makes a statement, and Jesus responds and just simply says, "He who has been forgiven much loves much." It's almost the same thing with joy. The more you realize what you have, not just a head knowledge, but a believing and an understanding, you begin to have more joy. Life-changing faith. Life-changing faith changes your perspective on life. And one of those perspectives is just simply joy. Simply joy. You can look at your outline now, by the way, if you would like. Glory brings joy, and joy brings glory. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, I thought about that for a while, and I thought about that, and I read different versions, and I read... different translations, and I looked in the Greek and several different things, and a couple of different resources. And basically what it boiled down to is simply this. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God means I rejoice in the hope of everything that I have. I am rejoicing in hope, full, complete expectation. Now catch this for a second. Of the glory of God. Now, that may just be a phrase. I don't know. But I think what it means is just simply the Greek word glory. I'm going to learn not to go over there. The Greek word for glory is doza. Doza. And it has a couple of implications. It has a couple of definitions. So I want to say three or four to begin with. And probably the one that you most recognize is when God is there and He's passing before Moses, and there's a magnificence, there is a shine, there is a glow, there's radiance, and Bruce's word just okay. There's a about Him, you know. He revealed His glory. But there's another aspect to this. And yes, I understand that when I rejoice and when I see the blessings that I have in Christ, I glorify my Father who is in heaven. I glorify Him and I praise Him and I thank Him and exalt Him. But there's another application of doza. And that is just simply good opinion of. Good opinion of. So now I want you to look at Romans 5 again. And the faith that we have, that we come before God and realizing His existence and who His Son is and what He has done for us. And I realize the justification that we have through Him and nobody else, through His blood. And I realize the hope and I realize the grace that I stand in. And I rejoice in that. He has a good opinion of me. Turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And that, I have to be honest with you, that's hard to take sometimes. God having a good opinion of me? God thinking well of me? Because of my faith? Psalm chapter 147. We may get hungry. Psalm 147. And due to lack of time, let's just simply look at verses 10 and 11. But I want you to notice in the prior part there, He is speaking of nature, and He is speaking of horses and their strength, and He's speaking of what we would consider to be magnificent things, and especially in their time as well. And if you will, read with me verses 10 and 11. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. God delights in you. Am I going to have to bring the pickle out again? God delights in you. A mere man. Who is man that God is mindful of me and He looks down upon me and He considers me with a good opinion because I have faith and I'm trying to live by faith and I'm trying to be led by the Spirit and I'm trying to live according to His standard, His Son. He looks down on me. One person out of what? 6.5 billion. He looks down on me with good opinion. And you know what that one makes me do? It's my lesson title. Glory brings joy and joy brings glory. Glory brings joy and joy brings glory. And there's some other scriptures as well. Jot them down if you want to. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and the surrounding area. Jesus is talking about His testimony. And boy, you're just not getting it. You're not listening to the testimony that I'm giving. You're not listening to the testimony of God's given about me. If you did, you'd believe in me. You search the Scriptures daily in order to find salvation, but you're not finding it. Because that's not where it's at. It's in me. It's in the Scriptures that lead to me. And then he just simply says, it scares me sometimes because he says, I know you. And guess what? He knows Bruce too. I know you. And I know for a matter of fact that you are seeking. You are seeking the praise of men. And then he tells them, you seek the praise of my Father. Guess what? Same Greek word, doza. Romans chapter 2. Paul is speaking to the Jews. And he just simply says in verse 29, you really want to know what a good Jew is? You really want to know what a good Jew is? It's not just the one on the outside. It's the one on the inside. We're already in Romans. I want to have you turn back to Romans 5 anyway. So turn to Romans chapter 2. Just right across the page. Well, in my Bible. Right across the page. And he says, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No! A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart. By the Spirit. Not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. God speaks well of you when you live by faith. God looks down on you with a good opinion. When you live by faith. When you take joy in what He has done. When you take joy and you live your life according to His will. Now, we really haven't spoken on joy a whole lot. And in the next 15 minutes, we're going to exegete Philippians chapter 4. But you may do that on your own time. That's why I've given you a somewhat of an extensive outline and idea of Philippians. And it's not hard to follow. Point number one is just simply has to do with Philippians chapter 1. Point number 2 has to do with Philippians chapter 2. Point number 3 has to do with Philippians chapter 3. Point number 4 has to do with Philippians chapter 4. Point number 5 has to do with Philippians chapter 5. And if you have that version, just give it back to Robert, all right? Because there's only 4 chapters. You didn't catch that. But so, let's get back to joy. If I know these things about me and how God sees me and His opinion of me, why is it so difficult for me to rejoice? Why is it so difficult for me to smile? Why is it so difficult? Paul will tell you. Paul will tell you in Philippians chapter 4. And we're just going to run through and we're going to look at just kind of the titles here of the points. I think Satan wants to steal your joy. I think Satan wants to steal your joy. And like most thieves, they're not going to come up with a bell and a whistle. Hey, I'm stealing your car today. 3:45, I'll be by your house. No, it's not like that. It's the same manner of which Jesus comes like a thief in the night. We don't know when a thief comes. We don't know when a thief comes. So you're going to have to guard your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. How? By the peace that surpasses all understanding. Joy is mentioned 14, 15 times in Philippians. It's got to be a key. Short chapters. It's got to be a key to living. And He wants them to live in joy. Now, you think about it for a second, and you can go along the outline with me if you want. The first thought is just simply this, and it's not all-encompassing of Philippians, but for the majority. The first thought is just simply, a thief of joy is circumstances. A thief of joy is circumstances. The thing that bases upon circumstances is happiness. There's a difference. Joy is a state of mind. I choose this way. I choose this way. I choose joy. And the circumstances do not necessarily have to be happening to you to take that joy away from you. What would you do? What would you do if Robert was thrown in prison, whipped and beaten and thrown in prison and house arrest and in Paul's situation and between two Praetorian guards? I don't know what they'd do in Juneau. Some may smile and say, all right, let's get a new preacher. No, I don't know. But as far as the Philippians are concerned, here is a man that Philippians are concerned, says, here's our man, he's our pretty much hero in the faith. And here he is locked up in prison. Don't let that steal your joy. Whatever happens to somebody else, whatever happens to yourself, circumstances around you or them, don't let it take your joy. That's a hard concept to live sometimes. Don't let it take your joy. Critics. Guess what? Paul was written up in the Brotherhood. Paul was written up in the Brotherhood, spoken ill of. You continue with Philippians chapter 1, and I'm not saying there was really a publication then. He had critics. But he didn't let it stop him. Didn't take his joy. He had chains. He had critics. And he had a crisis. He had a crisis. Did not let it take his joy. Next thought is just simply, a thief of joy is people. Sometimes people can take your joy. Sometimes they can steal it right out from under you. And a lot of times that comes from peer pressure. And that can hurt you, that could damage you if you'd let it, okay? And the idea, and let me give you some thoughts here on this type of folk. Better yet, time's running short. Let me give you an example, okay? The thought in Philippians chapter 2 is, have the submissive mind. Have the submissive mind. Read Philippians chapter 2 for a second. Look over Philippians chapter 2. The first thought in Philippians chapter 1 was really the singleness of mind. Be focused. Singleness. Second thought is just simply the submissive mind. Have that submissive mind. And he tells us, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Then he gives a wonderful example of Jesus having a submissive mind. He gives a wonderful example of being submissive to each other. Jesus. And guess what? It has nothing to do with comfort. Did you notice that? It has nothing to do with comfort. Sometimes I think we comfort the afflicted when we really need to be afflicting the comfortable. Think about that for a second. We comfort the afflicted. Yes, that's good. But a lot of times we need to be afflicting the comfortable. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, I was comfortable before you started. No. Now we're stepping on toes. We think of comfortable as kind of a hedge or a cushion around us. Jesus' idea of comfort, you can read it. First part is being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He surrendered. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He served. Being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He sacrificed. Now, Bruce, that just sounds really oxymoronic. I want to see her do it again. Sorry. That does not sound like world comfort to you, does it? Doesn't sound very comfortable to me. But I want you to notice what happens when you become when you surrender. You have this submissive mind. You surrender and you serve and you sacrifice. He says, therefore. Therefore what? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Comfort doesn't come through soft pillows and down jackets and a big paycheck. Comfort comes through surrendering, serving, and sacrificing. Interesting. There's much more on joy. Chapter 3 is just simply a joy of a thief of joy. A thief of joy are things. Things. Well, sometimes they steal our joy. I'll never forget the day I backed my new minivan. I know that's not real cool, but I backed my new minivan into a tree. I wanted to find all excuses, and I was so upset. But when my five-year-old hit the car with her bicycle, no big deal. I hit the tree. There's no value in things unless it leads you to Christ or leads somebody else to Christ. Three things he does in chapter 3, and we're going to go through these really quickly. Three things he does, he has set up a kind of a T-bar. How many of you guys know what a T-bar is? T-bar. It's just simply pros and cons. He set up a pros and cons. Boy, I have all these cons. I have this higher education. I have this wonderful lineage. I have this wonderful, and he goes on and on and on, but I consider them, and that's an accounting term, by the way, I consider all of these rubbish. Wow. I consider all of these rubbish in comparison of knowing Christ my Lord. Rubbish. Nothing. They don't bring joy. I know where joy is, and it's found in Christ. Nowhere else. Which causes me to rejoice. Causes me to think again the blessings that he has given to me. The second and third one, he challenged it with the illustration of an athlete. An illustration of an athlete, and that's 3:12-19. He says, press on. Press on. Run in such a way as to win. Take hold of it. How do you take hold of it? By coming to zero. You think you're a 10? No way. by becoming a zero, by nothing. I'm going way too fast through Philippians. Read my notes, all right? And read Philippians. Joy is not found on this earth except through Christ. Joy is not found on this earth. You're an alien. You're an athlete and you're an alien. You've already considered the things that these things aren't worth it. Jesus is. You're an athlete and you're going to run. You're going to press on. And I have, as far as running is concerned, there's two rules. Two rules to running. First one is don't look back. Don't look back. Second one is don't look back. Keep on going. Chest in the air, just head back and just letting her have it. Don't look back. You're an alien here. The future obviously belongs to God, and our future is in heaven. You're an alien here. Pretty much, Paul says, live like it. Live like it. Four things is simply worry, and I could probably spend a lot of time on this. I preached a sermon on worry one time. Preached a sermon and did all the work that needed to be done to preach the sermon. Preached a sermon and walked away worrying that I worried. Worrying that I worried too much. But you know, Jesus tells us about 5 or 6 times, it's a command, direct command, imperative sense, do not worry. That's in the Sermon on the Mount, 5 or 6 times. Do not worry. We don't have time to look at it, but really what worry is a split personality. Torn between two worlds. And right after he says, listen, you can't love money and you can't love God at the same time. You either love the one and hate the other and hate the one and love the other. It doesn't work. Split personalities don't work very well. And then he says, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry. Now that you have a solidified mind, now that you have a mindset on God, do not worry. And he uses several illustrations as that as well. A secure mind does not worry. The spiritual mind does not worry. So what does it do? It glorifies God. It's joy that brings glory and glory that brings joy. I've missed a lot of this in here. Please take your time to look at that, to look at it deeply and to look at it intensely. Where does your joy come from? Where does it come from? If it comes from this world, it's superficial. If it comes from Christ, it's real. Reality is found in Him and nowhere else. Let your joy bring glory.